السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا تزوج العبد فقد استكمل نصف الإيمان، فليتق الله في نصف الباقي، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, our sisters listening over the receivers, and also all channel Islam listeners. Nikahs have been taking place in this masjid and other masajid and other places which we have been attending. And all the time we listen to these ayat of the Quran Sharif, we listen to this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. And many, many bayans and waz and nasihats have been given with regards to marriage, the virtues of nikah, how it should be undertaken, what kind of a choice the bride must make or the groom must make, all the details that go with it, walima and everything else, it is discussed. But unfortunately we know that in many, many places around the globe, many, many homes, there is nothing but World War III and World War IV. People sometimes say that these things should not be discussed on the occasion of a nikah, because it is the occasion of a happiness, occasion of rejoicing. So therefore we make it very clear that we are not referring to the marriages that are taking place in this masjid now. But it is necessary to bring certain things to the attention of the congregation. Therefore many of these things are even repeated so that we take some lessons. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said that the qiyamah will not come. The last day of the world will not come until a person will pass by a qabr, he'll pass by a grave. And after passing by the grave, he will return to the grave. And then addressing the person in the grave. Now of course that person is not listening. But there he says, Ya laytani kuntu makana sahib hadha al-qabr. How I wish that I was in this grave, instead of this person being in this grave. This person who is in this grave, he says, this is in a much better state. How I wish I was in his place. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this was not going to be for deen purposes. Laysa bi deen, balil bala. He says, it's not going to be some kind of a habit that this person had, one of the meanings of deen, habit. There's not a habit that this person had that every now and again used to go to some graveyard, pass, and after that come back to the grave. It is a bala, it's a test, or it is some kind of difficulty and musibat and parashani that has come upon this person. Some kind of difficulty which this person cannot bear anymore, and therefore he really desires that I was dead. And under the surface of the earth, then being on top of the surface of the earth. And says it's, and the second meaning that has been given, that it's not because the person was having difficulty in practicing upon his deen, because some people who are practicing upon their deen, especially those people who are entering into the fold of Islam, we Muslims haven't got the mahol and the environment in our homes that is conducive to practicing Islam. We don't even have in our lives that kind of akhlaq, that kind of character, that kind of generosity, kindness, sincerity, honesty, truthfulness. Now all these qualities of a Muslim which is to attract others into the fold of Islam, unfortunately there's a great deficiency in our lives. So even when people accept Islam and come into our homes, they find nothing different. In fact, many of the friends that they befriend, those friends are also on drugs, on drink, on wine, women, and everything else. Then what kind of impression we are going to set on that revert to Islam, who has come into the fold of Islam? But then there are some reverts who are 100% better than us. And they want to practice on Islam. They want to practice on Islam. So they find some kind of difficulty because we haven't created that environment. In Madina Sharif, if a person had accepted Islam, as soon as he came in there, he was feeling comfortable. He was feeling at home there amongst those people. To practice was not difficult at all because every companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was 100% practicing Muslim. So now here what happens is the person finds it extremely difficult to practice. So here one of the meanings that it is not because of deen, or even any person, whether it is not even a revert, but it's not because of deen that this person is desirous of being under the surface of the earth, then being on top of it. And the third thing is that this person, it is because of his wealth, his property, or his family life, or something that has been terribly shattered, as we know when the everything collapsed in Dubai and many other parts of the world recently. How many people who lost billions especially and millions, many of them committed suicide. That means they just couldn't take it. It was so terrible for them. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying it is going to be a bala, a test that is going to come, and we can see that it has already come. That there are so many homes where because the marriages are not working for whatever reason. And remember that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He is the one who is interceding on behalf of the wives. Like if somebody intercedes, if the president of the country intercedes on behalf of somebody, or the king of a country intercedes on behalf of somebody, we consider that something great, that he is interceding, he is asking, please be good to this person, please do this to this. Now, Allah ta'ala is saying, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Allah ta'ala is interceding, deal in an equitable manner, nicely, kindly. Display your akhlaq, your character, your moral, your behavior. Let there be the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that irrespective of how many battles and wars and jihad he had to participate in, and the amount of worry and concern that he had for the ummah at large, that was going to come until the day of Qiyamah in fact. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was not a moment in his life that there was no worry and no concern and no fikr. But yet Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and this now you have heard 120 times, but I will go on repeating if it comes to my mind at a particular time. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, his beloved wife, she says, never ever did it happen that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam entered the house, but there was no smile on his face. Never. We say we entered the house, that time I had a lot of business worries, I had a lot of other financial problems and worries. And then that person took off with me, and that person said this to me, and that person said that to me. So all that worries were on my head. And therefore I came inside the house and I took off with the wife. Now what has all that outside thing got to do to take off with the wife? No doubt she may have her weaknesses, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at his teachings, look at his akhlaq, how he won the hearts of those wives. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave us direction in every aspect of our life. As I mentioned, I think last week, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam even participated in those, what we term as menial activities within the home. He used to help and Hazrat Aisha, his wife, sometime knead the dough, sometime sweep the floor, sometime knit, sometime stitch, sometime sweep. Ha, the greatest after Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and does not feel ashamed at all. There's no shame in that. Mulla Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi says, فَإِنَّ حَقِيقَةَ الْحَيَا أَنَّ مَوْلَاكَ لَا يَرَاكَ حَيْثُ نَحَاكَ. That is real haya and shame, that Allah ta'ala must not find us in a place that He is displeased with. Whichever place Allah Ta'ala has prohibited us to be in, we must not be in those places. Look at last night, where our people were. So we say about shame, shame, we say this is the real shame. That if the person is found in those places which Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are displeased with, then that is shameless behavior of the person. For he is going to use nothing but the ni'mats and gifts of Allah Ta'ala. Whoever, wherever they went and engaged in any kind of sin, whether it was adultery, fornication, listening to music, or whether they were in all other kinds of haram establishment, discos, cinemas, theaters, wherever they were, If any kind of enjoyment they got in that, it was because of some ni'mat and gift of Allah Ta'ala which they were using. Either it was the ears with which they were listening, or it was the tongue with which they were speaking, or it was the eyes with which they were seeing. Take a blind person and say, tell him now, look at all the beautiful faces that are in this disco or in this hall here, or in this dance club here. Look at all the pretty faces. Can that person see? What a great ni'mat Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave us of the sight. How many times I have mentioned that the blind person will get great rewards in the akhirat and in the hereafter. Some wazin of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was also blind. Some companions of his were blind. And many people in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, great, great people, pious, righteous, they went blind in the latter age because of their extensive reading and other reasons. So they are not going to be in any case blameworthy. They are going to get great rewards. I'm not talking about that. All I'm saying is that this sight which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave to us, ask any blind person that what is the color of this garment, what is the color of this carpet, what is the color of the paint on the wall. The person cannot differentiate between blue, red, green, yellow and black, nothing. The person cannot see the face of his wife, whether she is pretty or ugly, he cannot see. Therefore, they say one woman, she was married to a blind person. So she told the husband, she said, how I wish that you had sight so that you could see how pretty a woman I am. So she said, yes, I know. You must be very pretty because that's why they left you for me. So the person cannot see colors. He cannot drive on the road. In other words, whatever we are going to do to commit some sin, we're going to use a ni'mat and bounty of Allah Ta'ala. Without that, a person cannot commit sin. So isn't that a shameless thing? If a person has given, I always give this example, if a husband has to give the wife a mink shawl, and with that mink shawl, which she should have all put on her shoulders and looked attractive for the husband, she takes the mink shawl and puts black polish and polishes a black shoe. Will the husband ever give her another mink shawl? Or if it is a boot she is wearing, he's going to boot her out of the house. That is this why I gave you this black mink shawl. These ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the eyes, the ears, the tongue, the hands, the feet, the heart, the mind, are these ni'mats not even the value of the mink shawl? Look at the prices that people are paying for parts of the bodies. Therefore, look at the racket that is being run around the world for spare parts. Like how cars have spare parts, like that human spare parts. So therefore, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, some great bala has come upon this person in his worldly life. Not that he's a pious person and is having difficulty in practicing because of his worldly life. Otherwise, as far as difficulty, tests and trials are concerned, it came most on the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, then the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'i, of course the greatest on our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So that will come. But Allah Ta'ala will still give them a kind of sukoon in their hearts, tranquility, peace and happiness and satisfaction that it is coming from my Allah. If I am trying to do whatever has to be done, then this is a test and a trial. And Allah Ta'ala Himself will then assist this person in that test and trial. Again, that example is a new audience. The examinations recently were written by our students. Now if a paper was very difficult and the student is stumped, as we say, and the invigilator is passing by, he says, what's the problem? He says, this examination question is very, very difficult. So he says, I set the paper, you put your hand into my hand, I will write the answer for you. Will it be difficult after that? Allah Ta'ala will then write the answer for the person, if he sends the difficulty, in spite of this person's piety and taqwa. So this marriage is a sacred institution. It is not a joke. Again, what must I do? It comes to my mind what I mentioned a few weeks ago in one of the nikahs. And it is a beautiful thing if we only take lesson from it. That because of marriages and nikahs taking place in abundance in our families and in our society, we no more regard it as some kind of ibadat, some kind of worship. We say that it is a customary thing that you get married. Yet we know that no matter which government of the world, but if a person is a Muslim and is a believer in Allah Ta'ala and is Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he says, now you take this woman and go with her wherever you wish to, but don't make nikah. Will that person ever take that woman? It can be the military might of America, but this person, if he's forced, then still in his heart it will be that I'm not married to this woman. So look at the law of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is only that law and it is only that proposal and acceptance. Nakahtuha wa qabiltuha, I accept her in my marriage in the presence of witnesses with some mehr. And then now this person with that woman whom he was a total stranger, now they become so close that they share, they care, they love everything Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made halal. So this is an ibadat. It is not just a joke. It is not just something that's customary practice. So namaz is an ibadat. We always ask masail. What is the masla of namaz? Now at this moment in time, we have to face the qibla and make our namaz. That's the masla of namaz. But if a person says that, no, this is a customary thing, we always make namaz. So what does it matter now if I face in the other direction? Because the 2010 World Cup is going to take place in a, towards a certain stadium. The stadium is in that direction. And I'm a football fan. So what's if I make my namaz in that direction? Will it ever be valid? So in namaz, our ruku, our sajda, our tilawat and everything, we follow a pattern. In our fasting, we say from dawn to sunset, even if it's 2 minutes left before sunset, no person of the weakest iman is prepared to open his fast. Because that's the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. In the same way, when the person is giving zakat, then we want to know who must we give zakat to. What is the nisab of zakat? Our brothers, sisters, family members eligible for zakat. Now all the details we find out. When we go for hajj, look at the classes that are held and conducted. Why? Because it's ibadat. We say it's an ibadat. So is nikah not also an ibadat? How many classes did we have or that we attended or how many kitabs we read? How much of masail did we find out? Yet in nikah also, this farz, wajib, sunnat, and even those people who are short-fused, that every little thing and their fuse shorten, they spark very quickly. They've got no control over their anger. They are full of anger and full of emotion. And they know with certainty that if they have to marry because of their drug habit or some other habit that they've got, and they are short-fused, then they are going to do injustice to that wife. Then it is not permissible for that person to marry. Just like other masail we have, here also this person will be told it's not permissible for you to marry. Keep fast and break your desires. Because you are going to cause problem. So there's masail there. So this nikah also is an ibadat. And it is one of those unique ibadat. As the Shah Muhammad Yaqub Sahib, Mujaddidi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he had mentioned it very briefly, and as the Shaykh Abul Hasan Rahmatullah Alayhi explained it. So what he said, as Shah Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he said there are two things that we have just taken for granted in these days. And although they were ibadat, but we have reduced them to nothing but customary practice and habit. One of it is eating and drinking. Our eating and drinking was an ibadat. If the person makes the right niyat that I'm eating and drinking so that I get strength in my body, I get good health, then I can go and earn halal livelihood, I can fulfill the rights of the wives, the children, I can serve the poor, the needy, the destitute. I can do so much of things if I've got good health. So therefore, I'm eating the right kinds of food and I'm bringing strength into my body. So now that was an ibadat. But for us, it became like eating and drinking. Any part of the day, like our animals graze, they don't make niyat. Have you heard all the cows and goats and sheep and cattle all standing and making some niyat for ibadat? So like that, we have just taken it down to that level where we don't make any kind of niyat. And yet niyat was an intention of the heart, that's all. It doesn't take a few seconds to just think in the mind that, Ya Allah, I'm eating, give me strength in my body and make me use it in the correct way, the way that's pleasing to you and your Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, according to deen and sharia, that's ibadat. And the second thing he said is nikah. Now if we have to ponder and look deep into this nikah, it is such a kind of ibadat that from the time that it takes place, there's no end to it. Unless, of course, the person divorces or something of that kind, there's no end to the ibadat. At all times, he's in ibadat. This nikah ibadat doesn't end. The moment the person said, I accept her in my marriage, they are now husband and wife. Now, if their niyat was right, that we want to protect ourselves from sin, from haram, we want to safeguard our chastity, we want to develop taqwa in our lives, we do not want to go to the wrong places, we do not want to use this passion that Allah Ta'ala has given in any kind of haram. If the person makes that niyat and he also follows in that pattern, not that he made that niyat and after that he's going all to the wrong places, going on the porn sites, going here, going there, and after that he's got no control, unnatural urges, and then he wants to go and commit zina. But I'm talking about the person who makes that niyat, So now he is in ibadat all the time. Namaz we make Allahu Akbar, when we make Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah, the namaz has ended. The ibadat of that namaz has ended. Fasting we begin with dawn, and after that when sun sets, then we make iftar, and the ibadat of fast has ended. Zakat we do some calculation, and then we give that zakat to somebody, and that ibadat of zakat has ended. Hajj we put on the ihram, and we make all the tawaf, ziyarat, tawaf and ibadat, we go minas, Arafat, Muzdalifah, and whatever has to be done. When we make tawaf al-wida, or the last rite of Hajj, then the Hajj ibadat has ended. Now nobody who went for Hajj this year can say we are still in making Hajj. It has ended. The same with all other ibadat and worship, it ends. This is one ibadat that never ends. The person is sleeping is in ibadat. The person gets up is in ibadat. The person goes to earn halal livelihood for the wife and for the children. He is in ibadat. The person is talking cheerfully to his wife, he is in ibadat. In fact, in namaz we have to remain silent many a times behind the imam. But there the person, if he remains silent all the time, we will say he is not fulfilling the right of the wife, he is not fulfilling the terms of ibadat. He must now talk to the wife. Cheerfully he must talk. He must discuss matters which are of mutual concern, which are general matters. Don't think because we've got high qualifications and degrees, and I'm Mufti Sahib, and I'm Haji Sahib, and I've got engineering degree, and I've got a medicine degree, I'm a philosopher, I'm a scientist, so now how can I come down to the level of my wife and talk? Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He's even telling stories to his wife. The Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, read in the books of Hadith Sharif. There's a lengthy Hadith Sharif there. He's telling a story to his wife about, now what a beautiful story he tells. There's no time to go into all that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with his wives, he was extremely good and kind. Nobody could have found a better husband than Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the kind of husbands we have to be. Our children, they're looking at our fights and quarrels and arguments. They're developing hatred in their hearts for the parents. Many young girls don't want to get married anymore because of the abuse that they have seen by the fathers of the mothers. And sometimes it is the other way around. Now that is where we have to even make some kind of jihad in this nikah. There's some part of namaz, there's some part of fasting, there's some part of hajj, there's some part of jihad also in this nikah. The person has to exercise control. There's no shouting, screaming and dancing and jumping and fighting and beating and abusing. Definitely those wives will say sometimes certain things which may cause some kind of irritation, agitation. But what about our business houses where when the customer is a very valued customer, how many times we say must tolerate? The customer must always tolerate because this person is a very valued customer. He has come with big money in his pocket. So we must not lose this customer. Hasn't the wife come with a great value? She is a protection of our iman. She is a protection of our iman. Is our iman of lesser value than that customer? Therefore, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, on one occasion, his wife was taking off with him. Somebody came to the door bringing some complaint about his wife. And then he heard Hazrat Umar's wife taking off with him. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was such a person that everybody feared him, even the emperors feared him. But with his wife, that's how so. And then he explained that why he was not responding. So if they have to say something, then we must be rijal. We must be men. We don't have to be little children, losing our tempers all the time. As I said, so many children are affected because of these fights. One young girl, 9 year old, 10 year old, she had written some time back. And she said, I make dua that my father and mother must, and myself, we must be in the same car and get hit smash against some truck and all die. I can't see my mother and father quarreling the way they're carrying on. This is the kind of love we build up in the hearts of our children. But remember that most of these things are because of our disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala takes away that love from the heart of the wife or the husband. Sometime from the husband's heart, sometime from the wife's heart. Of course, the one who is innocent will get rewarded. In the akhirah, there's great reward. Even in this world, there's great reward. So many women have been divorced for no fault of theirs. It was the bad habits of the husband, and sometimes it's the bad habits of the wife that there has been a divorce. So the husband will get rewarded for that. A person with 6 children, And then suddenly after 6 children, then he says, in Karachi this happened. After 6 children, then he says, that my mother made a big mistake selecting this woman for my wife. In other words, he's trying to say she should have put number 11 glasses and checked. After 6 children, he realized that mother made a mistake. He said, I'm going to divorce her and then I'm going to marry a pretty woman, because he was already involved with another woman. So much of explanation was given to him, he wouldn't listen. He married. He divorced his wife and he married. Kisko batate hum apni majbooriya, dekh ke reh gaye janebe aasma. As if that wife's heart was crying and she said, who must I express this deep-hearted grief of mine to? I can only look at the heavens and say, oh Allah, you are witness to this injustice of this husband of mine. He married that woman. Within 1 month he had a stroke. That wife left him and ran away too. Then on his bed after that he's urinating and passing stool and screaming and shouting, nobody at his assistance. Zulm and injustice Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala doesn't tolerate. Kufr and shirk Allah ta'ala still tolerates. Look at the kuffar, mushrikeen, Allah is giving them so much. Akhirat he will deal with them. But injustice, whether the person is a Muslim or is non-Muslim, sooner or later Allah ta'ala will come to the person's assistance. He will come to his assistance. So therefore this nikah, which is an ibadat, it continues. The person is sleeping, is in ibadat, is drinking, is in ibadat, is eating, is in ibadat, is talking cheerfully to his wife, is in ibadat, he's having intimacy with his wife, is ibadat. So the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa, how can intimacy with the wife be ibadat? He said, if this person had to go and do the same thing somewhere where it was haram for him, I'm just giving you explanation, then would it not have been a sin? He said, yes, it would have been a sin. So he said, then this is, how can there be no sawab on this? Look at Allah Ta'ala's fairness and justice. Talking cheerfully, smiling, discussing general matters, helping, assisting, everything ibadat. So much so that when the person now dies, then in the akhirat, in Jannat also, it will be the same wife again will unite with you, with whom they lived happily. Here Allah Ta'ala will unite them there too. Hum wa azwajuhum fi zilalin alal ara'iki muttaqeen. So many ayat of the Quran Sharif, read them. So therefore we have to understand that this is a great ibadat. And if it is an ibadat, then we have to find out masail of ibadat. Just as we find out about namaz, roza, zakat and hajj, we have to find out about this nikah also. What are the rights of the wife? What are the rights of the mother-in-law? What are the rights of the father-in-law? Therefore my Shaykh say that we must always consider the mother-in-law and father-in-law as also fathers and mothers. That just as we have a father and mother, we must say now we've got two fathers, two mothers. And the wife must consider the same. She must think, just as I have a father and mother, now my mother-in-law and father-in-law are as good as my father and mother. The husbands also have to be very careful. They must not think that now that we have got the wife under control, who is going to ask us any questions? I've got a lot of money, I've got authority, I've got power, I've got contact in high positions. I can beat her, I can do anything. We don't have any kind of contact with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then it is disaster. Can we challenge Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's might? What will all this contacts help them? So therefore they must treat each other. The parents must, of the husband's parents, her in-laws, father-in-law, mother-in-law, they must treat her like a daughter. And on the other side, she must treat them like mother and father. If both ways works, according to Sharia, there can never be any arguments, problems. There will be always some arguments. I always say it must be like a 3-minute boiled egg. Don't allow it to boil more than that. An argument must not last more than 3 minutes. And I gave one friend of mine and many other friends also. Said, the moment she says something which irritates and agitates, then take out a notebook, said, I'd quote number 555. Quote number 963. Depends how many quotes she already gave you. Malfuzat, make naqal of malfuzat. Finish, she'll laugh, you laugh, and it's all over. But your malfuzat book will fill up very fast. In other words, make the home jannat on earth, jannat on earth. What is the purpose? Because if husband and wife are fighting, that home is jahannam and hellfire on earth. I make sincere, deep-hearted dua that all those whose nikahs took place now and everybody else who is married, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala unite the hearts of the husbands and wives. Allah ta'ala give them the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of each other. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make us all His and we must become ours. If He is happy with us, then He will put happiness into our hearts. Then we will be like living in gardens on this earth. And if He is not happy with us, then we'll have everything in the world. But our home life will be absolutely restless. Everything on the earth. A woman once said, and I can't forget that. She says, Maulana, if you have to look at my house, it's like a palace. If you have to look at the gold, silver and everything else that I possess, it's unreal. I have everything, and if you have to look at beauty, I'm a beautiful woman. But my husband is involved with another woman. She doesn't even have that beauty that I have. In the home, which is supposed to be a palace, but it is like Jahannam. It is like prison for me. Because of this illicit relationship of his. Comes in the morning, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, sometimes doesn't come for days. So now she has everything, but she doesn't have anything. Therefore, one of the cricketers, nikah, in this masjid. Then I said, what we must do, that normally in cricket, this is what they want to do. That the opposition, you want to bowl them out, stump them out, catch them out, throw them out, shoot them out, do anything, as long as you get them out. So you must play on the same side of the team with your wife. Sometimes your best friend can drop a catch. On your same side, your best friend, he drops a catch. And yet they were struggling to get those people out. Now what do you do? At that time, do you go look for the bat and bash his head? You'll put some frown on the forehead and after that you'll say, whatever it is my friend. He didn't do it purposely, he didn't do it intentionally. He dropped the catch, what? Finish. So like that, if the wife has to make some mistake, say, well, she is my wife. She has been so good and kind and loyal and she has done so much for me. Then what is there if I also have to go the extra mile? And who is going to be happy in the end of the day? We ourselves. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala bless them with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. جس سے ہیں آپ خوش اس جہاں میں وہ شب و روز ہے گلستاں میں دیکھ کر میرے اشک ندامت دیکھ کر میرے اشک ندامت ہے رحمت کی بارش میرے جہاں میں something to that effect he says that if Allah تبارک و تعالی he is happy then Allah تبارک و تعالی will give happiness otherwise Allah تعالی will put restlessness enmity hatred نگاہ اقربا بدلی مزاج دوستاں بدلا نظر ایک ان کی کیا بدلی کہ کل سارا جہاں بدلا اللہ تعالیٰ turns away his glance of rahmat and mercy then the whole world will turn away. Of course tests and trials will come for the pious, righteous and Allah wallahs and everybody. But in that test and trial also Allah تعالیٰ will give them sukoon. وآخر دعوانا الحمدللہ.